So today we have the second chapter of the first section of Katha Upanishad. So we will start with a mantra. Today is Mahasaraswati Puja.
Durga Puja. Нашаня чева по
мамы. Yes. Yesterday we had a chair of the mother standing there upstairs. Is it today Mahasaraswati Puja?
Yes.
Because the confusion with Durga Puja.
Нашаня is a red chair of the mother.
So Mahasaraswati is the goddess of the divine word. She's dressed fully in light white dress with white jasmine flowers, sitting on the white lotus and shining with a white light. Just to keep that image in the mind before we start our Upanishad class.
Is she also the goddess of music?
Yes, she is a goddess of music and arts. And skills and crafts and knowledge and everything. And she is not very well with her sister, with her elder sister, Mahalakshmi. And in India they even say that these two sisters do not live in one house. Yes? Either you are a scholar or you are a rich man. Wealth and knowledge are not going together. I do not know why it is, so maybe it will change. It is a very true perception, at least for the last many thousand years it was like this. Now it might change. The wealth will become, again, knowledge. Knowledge will become wealth, as it was in the Veda. Because Vedas, there is a word Vedas, which means both knowledge and wealth. It's quite interesting. It's that spiritual wealth. So today is our session on the second chapter of the first section of Katha Upanishad. Yama speaks. Anyat shreyah, anyat utaiva preyah. Te ubhe nanarthe purusham sinidaha. Tayoh shreya adadamasya sadhu bhavati hiyate arthad yaupreyo vrinite. Yama says, one thing is the good and quite another thing is the pleasant. And both seize upon a man with different meanings. Of these, whoso takes the good, it is well with him. He falls from the aim of life, who chooses the pleasant. Now here we have millions of interpretations, and you can imagine what you can have out of this text. You can have a justification of asceticism, very clearly, yes? If you are not going for anything pleasant, you have to cut off everything which is kind of on your path to the good. So two terms, Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas from Shri and Prayas from Pri to love. Actually, Pri to love also has a very special meaning. It is derived from root Pri with long Ri, which means to fill, to make full with. Prinati, yes, in Sanskrit, it's ninth class. Priya, beloved, Prayas, that which is dear or dear, it's a comparative degree of adjective. Shreyas is that which is better, and Prayas is that which is dearer. These two different, better and dearer, seize upon man and lead him in two different directions. The one who took Adadanasya, of the one who took on himself, Shreyas, Sadhu Bhavati, he will be okay. He will reach his goal, Sadhu, Sadhayati. Hiyate Arthat, and the one who is Prayovrinite, who chooses Prayas, he will fall from Artha, he will fall from the meaning, or from the goal, or from the wealth. Now, the meanings are so many of this one word Artha, and of all these words. There is a whole list of meanings, so you can choose for your interpretation. What would you say? Shall we read second one and see, because it continues. Shreyascha preyascha manushyam etas tau samparitya vivinakti dhira shreyo hi dhiro abhipreyaso vrinite preyo mando yoga kshemat vrinite. The good and the pleasant come to a man, and the thoughtful mind turns all around them and distinguishes. The wise chooses out the good from the pleasant. But the dull soul chooses the pleasant rather than the getting of this good and its having. Very strange translation, right? But yes. Yes, it gives those sharp corners for us to yes, to catch us with. Shreyas and prayas, manushyam etah, they go unto man, yes, etah. Aitah, they approach man, manushyam etah, tau, they too. Samparitya vivinakti tau, samparitya vivinakti dhirah. And dhirah discriminates vivinakti from here, viveka. He distinguishes, it's a seventh class, rutvich, vinakti. He distinguishes samparitya, having gone around them, fully observed from all sides, he distinguishes among these two. Shreyo hi dhiro abhiprayaso vrinite, and Shreyas he is choosing over prayas, the dhira one, the wise one, who has mind, who has dhi, who has higher discerning faculty of intellect. He will choose Shreyas instead of prayas. Prayas mando yoga kshemat vrinite. Mandaha is the one who is weak. The one who is weak, he will choose prayers. Now we can understand something of our psychology. When we are weak, we are falling for prayers. When we are strong, we are idealistic and we want to fight for the idealistic causes.
So actually, this everything is turning around the goal and aim, where it's supposed to go. Or it is intuitively Sanchez Maduro, because it doesn't bring you there, and it's not leading the person. But good is good, and it becomes pleasant. So if good is first, pleasant can follow. I think the inner center must be there, who's choosing.
Actually, this ideal was, Subhashita's very well said, Subhashita's are proverbs, that I don't remember the exact words, but the meaning is that actually everything what you do good, at the beginning is like a poison, and at the end is like a honey. But everything which is wrong, at the beginning is like a honey, and at the end like a poison. So there is something about it. That which is easy coming is not necessarily easy going or leading you in the right direction. That which is not easy coming, that which is true, is not really visible. You have to distinguish it, to find it. You have to work on it. You have to discipline yourself. Then you will find something which will give you honey. And that is more real. Yes. Since you remember, since in our Vedic studies, Bhaga, the Lord of the Delight, is spread everywhere, beyond and here, in the darkness, throughout. The delight is everywhere. You can enjoy everything. It's not that simple, common people without money do not enjoy life. They enjoy it fully. Maybe even better than we can. Or anybody else. But to find that highest good, that something else is to be done. You cannot fall for the first enjoyment because it won't lead you anywhere. It is the end of the story, yes? It's not the beginning. Yoga Kshema. Yeah, they're not a very difficult word. Yoga Kshema. So it is translated as goods and having goods, but it is Yoga Kshema is that which is resulting from yoga, which is the environment in which yogi lives. It is his relations with himself, his body, and his environment, his goods. It's a very simple example. If you go to these yogis, I went, for example, to Amal Kiran's room. Very small room, tiny room. There is another room in which he sleeps. Another room is just, I don't know, 2 on 2 meters. You can sit near that table, and everywhere papers and some people is trying with their elbows to manage something. But the feeling was profound, just to be there in that luminous something, happiness. That was Yoga Kshema. The environment created by yoga. Things did not mean anymore same as they mean for us. Yeah, those papers were not really beautiful, nothing special. Things were old and even worn out. But still, they were carrying this luminosity of being, and it was very pleasant to be with them. The same I was in Jayantilal's room when he lived in his corner in archives. He was the owner of the whole building, but he, in the whole building, in one room, in one corner, he put himself a bed behind the cupboard, behind the shelves of the books. There was curtain where his bed was there to sleep. He didn't have anything more, but that was so beautiful to be there in that corner with him. It was really, so that Yoga Kshema can be that, or it can be something else. He's good and it's having. What is that good and having good?
Maybe you can somebody else can explain a little bit more if what this has to do with the real pleasantness that comes from the real good. I mean, it wouldn't be like you cut off everything and put yourself in the world is no good and all that, but from if you do choose to go, I mean, you think it's the good, you do the best you can, and it is the good. If it's really good, there is the pleasure that comes from it.
Yes.
Because, you know, because things have fit like a puzzle in the right place.
Sure. Yeah, this is the whole point, yes.
Yeah, but this is, again, the pleasant part of good, or what?
No, this is the pleasant which results in good, yes? From good it results.
I think the other way around.
No, the pleasant results from the good, because when you choose... Yes. But if you choose the good, the pleasant, that means you put the cart in front of the horse, yes? Then you do not know what will happen, because you are taking the result and not the process to that result. So the process would be the good, to come to that result of... Well, this is one interpretation. I'm sure there would be more. And they would also fit into this vision.
I think that the word pleasant indicates that which gives pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And pleasure is always short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pursue the good, which involves, mm-hmm. as you pointed out, self-discipline,
mm-hmm.
because that you make the choice, in order to make that choice,
mm-hmm.
to go in the direction of the good, you have to have self-control and self-discipline. And then it leads to, I wouldn't say pleasure, but true joy. And joy is something that stays. It's not short-lived.
Very true. It's a good definition. Actually, prayers is not a bad word, and pleasant is nothing to do with prayers. It's from root pri, from here we have priti, priya. These are Vedic words, meaning that, you know, beloved and love, and in the highest sense. It's not a low word. But if you take it, choose it first. Then you don't have that process in which you build up that something which stays. So you have to build it up within yourself. You cannot take it for granted because you didn't really grow into it. You have to grow into it, as you rightly said. When you grow into it, it becomes your achievement of your own consciousness. Then it becomes something steady and final. Otherwise, of course, I can claim anything. Because I have money, I can claim, but money does not give me joy. How come? I can buy everything, and I buy everything, and it doesn't give me joy. And now it's a question. Why? Because I didn't grow into it. And some people who earn their money hard, yes, they buy small sweets. They enjoy them so much, much more than those who have money for everything and they're tired of all these sweets, they don't eat sugar anymore and all that. It's really somewhere there is an answer to all that.
So my prayer has to be a result of good.
Yes.
It's kind of the ERP is correct, it's good, so the prayer is if you do good.
I think what here is striking is that this Vinodivana came. Here he says, thoughtful mind turns all around him and distinguishes. So here actually he asks a lot of the person who chooses. He demands a very high discernment of choice.
Yes, yes, and it is not so simple. Well, it becomes simpler later, but not immediately. Because the delight which is attracting all of us, we are here for delight. We are here for nothing else but to experience this delight. He is blinding us sometimes in our choices. Actually, it's a very interesting thing, maybe for some of you who studied Kabbalah and Kabbalistic vision. So there is the six arcana, the six. Ear and eye, the six cornered star, the star of David, the star of Sri Aurobindo. But the picture of arcana is to choose the path. There is the neophyte, there is the initiate who has to choose where to go, left or right path. There are two paths. On the left side there is a woman, very beautiful woman, well dressed, with all beautiful ornamentation, young and very attractive. On the right path there is also a woman who is not well dressed, just normally dressed, and doesn't have all those makeups on herself. Just looking without any invitation, without any attraction. Two paths, right and left. It depends what path he chooses. There he will be in the seventh arcana. In the seventh arcana, either he is a victor, victorious, or he is a opposite. He's a victim. Now, if he chooses left path of this beloved, beautifully looking lady, he goes astray. This is left path, Vama Marga of Tantra. Or if he chooses the Dakshina, this is the right path. And he goes to good. This is Prayas and Shreyas in Semitic tradition. So this is a very old image which we find here. It's quite interesting to compare them, because it's from a Kabbalah, Kabbalistic knowledge of Semitic tradition. And as we mentioned today also, one thing that Saraswati and Lakshmi do not stay in one house is the same image. So Shreyas and Prayas, they do not go together. Why is that so? It's just for us to think. There's some deep psychological thing.
I just read a quotation a couple of days ago, and I can't quote it, but it was from the Life Divine. And the gist of it was that a rich man or someone who has great wealth will not strive as much for progress, because they have everything. What do they need to work for?
Kind of.
And Jesus said, easier for
camel.
A rich man, I mean,
for camel to,
yeah,
to fit into
a
the needle.
To go through the eye of the needle, mm-hmm, than for a rich man to go to heaven. So there's got to be some connection. We probably ought to be happy that we only get maintenance. But we struggle.
Maybe it's also connected to the human senses, which are satisfied immediately, and they react to unpleasant very fast, right? And it is vital and physical body which is satisfying very easy. And if you direct yourself to satisfy and develop this part of the being, so you are not going to do it, because it doesn't lead you to the center of your being. So there is
the senses in our body, the senses. Also, it's an interesting thing. If you come to the Vedic vision, in the Vedic vision it was like this, and we read last time 165 hymn to Indra and Maruts, where it is said that when Indra says that what is there in this body which belongs to me, and he clarifies, to me belongs this hymns rising from the heart, these thoughts formed in the mind, and these sutasas, those extracts of senses. Those extracts of senses, if they are given to Indra, Soma, this is the extract of the delight of sensual delight. If that sensual delight is shared with the higher consciousness, then that is the meaning of the Soma sacrifice. Now, if that is not done, how it can be done? It cannot be done if we jump on prayers, because then we satisfy ourselves. It has to be prepared, extracted, purified, as it is said, vivinakti dhira. It takes time to distinguish it. And the text will go on, and you will see this image is elaborated later. Prepared and offered to a higher perception, to a higher power, to enjoy it, to enjoy its own presence within this instrumentation. And if it is not done, there is no sacrifice. So Shreyas can be seen as a sacrificial path, whereas prayas is an ordinary path for ordinary living and enjoyment. But that is the image which is elaborated through this discriminating truth in ourselves by living here. Living here longer, you will see the beauty everywhere, but differently. You will not be attached to it. You will be detached and enjoying it in a deeper sense. That neophyte who is choosing among two paths, he is not the master. He is the one who is to become the master. Now, if he falls on the prayers immediately, as wanting to enjoy life fully, he didn't yet build himself for that. He didn't yet discover the truth which will give him the enjoyment. And enjoyment will be quite different. It won't be the same. Egoistic enjoyment of life is different from non-egoistic. It's a completely different enjoyment, by the way. All right, let us look into this third one. Sattvam priyan priyarupanscha kaman abhidhyayam Nachiketo atyasrakshih, naitansrinkam vittamayim avapto, yasyam majjanti bhavo manushya. This is about many of us. And thou, O Nachiketas, has looked close at the objects of desire, at pleasant things and beautiful, and thou hast cast them from thee. Thou hast not entered into the net of riches in which many men sink to perdition.
What's
destruction or... Very clear. Doesn't need interpretation.
What is this? Atyasrakshih.
This is aorist. Srakshih. It's from Sraj, Sraj. With sigmatic aorist with lengthening of Asrakshis, which you didn't choose, which you left, which you dropped over, which you left. Srij is to drop,
cast.
To cast.
One question about the beautifulness. Because this must be something beautiful that is not beautiful.
Priyarupanscha, yes. There are two words. Priyan, there's those beloved things, yes, lovely things. And priyarupan, priya rupanscha kaman, the desires which have the form of beauty. So you didn't fall for the form, you were looking for the meaning of that form. Here there is somewhere a hook in us. Eh? And that is a big problem. And for many years we struggle with that, with the beautiful form. What is that beautiful form? How we should have relations with that beautiful form? And it is misleading us many times, and I still think it will mislead us in the future. It's only on that level where Nachiketas was that you can distinguish between the two. So he didn't fall into this net. Vittamayin. Vittamayi is made out of vitta, of wealth. It's from the same root vid. Yeah? So vitta, vitta kosha, the bank. Vitta kosha, Sanskrita Bharati. Okay, duram ete viparite vishuchi avidyaya cha vidyeti jnata vidyabhipsinam nachiketa sammanye natvakama bhavo lolupanta. For far apart are these, opposite, divergent, the one that is known as the ignorance and the other the knowledge. But Nachiketas, I deem truly desirous of the knowledge, whom so many desirable things could not make to lust after them. Duram ete, so duram fa, these two, viparite, moving in different directions, vishuchi, having different directions. Avidyacha vidya iti jnata. Avidya and vidya, they are known like this. Avidya is, as we discussed last time, is ignorance, which we translate in English as ignorance, but it is not ignorance, by the way. It is a vidya, knowledge, which is partial, a partial knowledge, the knowledge which appears in time and space, the knowledge of Windows XP or whatever. This is the knowledge of English, of Sanskrit, and so on. Partial knowledge. But without that partial knowledge, as we know from the philosophy of evolution, that final knowledge is also not possible. Because all those elements are gathered and become a valuable asset at the end. So avidya, huh?
So actually it seems kind of a paradox that in that sense you have to, this pleasant, this more superficial, you can't get along without it, the way I understand.
No, you can't get along without it. Why should we get without it? It will be always there. We can't live without the delight. All this world is created by the delight. It's only what we are aiming at, what we are looking for. If we are looking for the delight, we are most probably to stumble and fall somewhere. But if we are looking for the truth, truth will give us the delight. The preference is, it's actually a Vedic tradition. In tantric tradition, Sri Aurobindo compares this, by the way. They dared even to wish, to want the delight as such, to give it to the divine. Yes? And this is Vama Marga, which is very tricky. You have to be already on the path of the truth and have to be initiated and so on and so forth. In the Vedic tradition, knowledge is to precede the power. The delight is power. It is something which is already happening to you. It is of substantial experience within your being. Knowledge is something else. It is an opening in consciousness and widening, which has to precede this powerful following. So according to the Veda, knowledge, the bull, the cow, is to stand in front of the horse. It is repeated throughout the Veda, many times. The cow is to be in front of the horse. The knowledge is to lead the power. The power will follow the knowledge, where knowledge leads. If there is no knowledge, where power will lead? Wherever. Yes, to destruction also. Or it may lead even to knowledge. Yes, also possible. And tantrics even did this. And they found the method, and they found the knowledge to do that. They were putting experience before the knowledge. They were getting knowledge by experience.
But they had an aspiration inside of the knowledge. It's different.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm still bringing you this thinking, because it is worth knowing and thinking about it. That you
don't have aspiration to go for destruction. Is it all just?
Yes. And still, if you go as a baby to try everything out, yes? Everything. Yeah, baby wants this and that, and crying for this and taking that. You also learn. It may lead you to disasters, but it will give you a lot of knowledge. So both are leading to each other. That's what I want to say. Example, by the way, how experimentation can lead you, as many, you know, the scientists did the same. They were, you know, roaming in the dark. They didn't know where they were going. And even this, with somebody was telling about those nuclear scientists. The guy was holding uranium in his hands, you know, naked hands, and putting them together close, and it started beeping. Higher, 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 and even to put a little closer, it would be a nuclear bomb. But he didn't come to that. He received his final radiation and put it aside. This was it was all like that. So things are discovered by experience, and we are mainly doing that Vama Marga path rather than Dakshina. But both are possible. We can also become aware of these things and think about them more. Avidyayam antare vartamanah svayam dhirah panditam manyamanah dandram yamanah pariyanti murhah andhenaivani yamana yathandhah. This is a very good thing for us to read. We can recognize ourselves. Avidyayam antare vartamanah. They who dwell in the ignorance within it, wise in their own wit, and deeming themselves very learned, man bewildered are they who wander about, round and round circling, like blind men led by the blind. This
what,
is a,
what's the
circle there? Yes, circling. Doubtfully. Not much. But you're right, you doubted in time. It was a doubtful reading. So avidyayam antare. Inside avidya, inside this partial knowledge, vartamanah, they circle round and round. They are. They're moving in this, inside this partial knowledge. Svayam dhirah, but themselves they think that they are very wise. Panditam manyamanah, they consider themselves to be pandits, learned men. All scientists and the best of them, finally they come to the conclusion that actually everything what they discovered was on the way to so dandra miyamana, this is a word which is met only here in the Katha Upanishad.
Which word is that?
Dandra miyamana pariyanti murha. Sri Rubindra translated, bewildered are they who wander about round and round circling. Dandranya, you can feel this, dandram yamanah, pariyandi, murhah, stupid ones, yes? They are bewildered, they are stupid, and they are moving round and round, andhenaiva niyamanah, as if they are led indeed by andhena, by the blind one, niyamanah, they are led, passive voice. Yathandhah, as if they are blind. This image was used also in the Bible, most probably from the same source. Nasam parayah pratibhati balam pramadhyantam vittamohena murham ayam loko nasti para iti mani punaf punaf vasham. This is interesting. The childish wit, bewildered and drunken with the illusion of riches, cannot open its eyes to see the passage to heaven. For he that thinks this world is and there is no other comes again and again into death's thraldom. Apadyate me, he falls into my lap, so to say. Well, the Sanskrit is quite interesting. Some part, I made some vocabulary here, especially for you. Samparaya is that passage, yeah, from this world to another world. This samparaya, that which leads you beyond totally, na pratibhati, is not appearing to your eye, to your perception, balam, to the perception of bala, yeah, of the childish one, the one who didn't grow yet in his consciousness. Pramadhyantam vittamohena murham, the one who is bewildered by vittamoha, by the vitta of riches. Ayam loko nasti para. So this is the world. There is no other world. Why do you tell me about the other world? I don't want to know. I want to live here fully. I'm not interested in Sri Aurobindo as a spiritual person. I'm interested to know what he was in his physical body. What did he eat for breakfast and how did he sleep in his bed? This is what I'm interested in. Nasti para. Iti mani. Mani, the one who is proud of himself, who has mana. Punah punah vasham apadyate me. Again and again he falls into my domain, to my life. I have more thoughts about this passage relating to our Vedic studies, relating to the Yama as the Lord of Death and Yama who is the savior of the soul. Because if the person is not ready to see, to liberate himself fully here, and restricts his own functions and faculties of consciousness to this particular path, then he will be always a means to build up the whole evolution of consciousness. He will be a material, and it's fine.
He will be what?
A material from which this is built. All the mistakes which are made will be codified, will be in a way somewhere meaningfully recorded in the gene pool of the future manifestation of the spirit. So everybody does immense work. All those who are not following the path, they are also doing this work here. They are working out all the relations and all possible mistakes and failures which we do not want to follow. You see, once I had a very interesting intuitive thought. It was long ago in Russia, and I was passing by and I saw this drunken man digging the soil and speaking dirty language, and I thought to myself, what a wonderful world, yes? And I thought, why do they do that? Can't they come out from that misery of their consciousness? It's such a miserable life to be drunk and to have such a heavy work, to be dirty, to speak dirty, to come back and to drink again. It's like... And then I got a slap in my face. And something came and said, but you see, the consciousness has to go deep into the inconscient. Who will link it if not these beings? Who will link it to those dark places where you don't want to go? And then I understood what Mother said about the gods, that they didn't have guts and power to really plunge into the darkness. It is the asuras, all those other beings who could really sustain the darkness. And they are doing the divine's work. This is the manifestation of the divine. They are doing it. They are churning the ocean on another side. Somebody has to hold the head of the Vasuki on other side and get the fire. Why I'm saying this? Because it's in relation to this passage. No, those who are the last will be the first in the kingdom of my Father. Can you imagine this such statement? Those who are the last will be the first in the kingdom of my Father. What does it mean, really? I always thought about it. I think they are going very deep into that place where not everybody wants to go. And it is not so simple to do that work there. You will have to fail, you will have to try out things, you will have to give yourself to that misery to carry it out than to light. So, there are many questions, more questions than answers. Yes. No, I am not proposing us to go down. I am thinking why they are there. Why in the highest divine utility it was allowed for these things to happen. That's what I am thinking.
What is the first phrase in that?
This?
Yeah.
The passage to the transcendental passage is not occurring or not appearing in front of the eyes of the child. It is not visible to him. He is bewildered or he is drunk, yes, by the moha of riches. Being stupid.
So the definition down below related to the future?
Yes.
The passage. Is there a sense of of a greater time cycle?
Well, it's rather spatial, I think. Yeah, it's para means beyond, transcendental. So the passage towards beyond is not appearing in front of the eyes of the one who is completely shut down with all other enjoyments in the world.
So the passage to the beyond is associated with the good.
Yes. The passage to the beyond is associated with the good. This is the passage we all follow. And it is not visible to the one, only Nachiketa saw it.
Immortality is associated with the passage to the beyond.
Right. Immortality is associated with this. But we will come to next and you will see what he means. It is something more than that.
Yes, could you go scroll down? I want to see the next one.
This is a good point, because we are kind of, we made a makeup. Huh? We are kind of that darkness which is not darkness outside. We are prettied darkness. Yes? So we will come to a very one interesting point, that the passage towards the beyond is considered to be good, but there is one big but to which we have to come and see the text. Shravanayapi bahubhir yo nalabhyah shrinvantopi bahavo yam navidyuh ashcharyo vakta kushalosya labdha ashcharyo jnata Kushalano Shishtah. He that is not easy even to be heard of by many, and even of those that have heard, there are many who have not known him. A miracle is the man that can speak of him wisely or is skillful to win him. And when one is found, a miracle is the listener who can know God even when taught of him by the knower. Shravanaya api bahubhir yo na labhyah. The one who is not labhyah cannot be reached by many, even by hearing, yes? But even if you heard, Shrinvanto, those who hear, who have inspiration, who get this presence of the Divine, Bahavaha, Yamnavidyu, who do not know him. They have inspirations. I belong to those who have inspirations, but who do not know him. Ashcharyo vakta kushalosya labdha. And indeed, miracle is the man that can speak of him wisely or is skillful to win him. Vakta kushalosya labdha ashcharyo jnata kushalano shishtah. An even more miraculous one, who is the knower of him, skillful one, taught by the other. Now, there is another concept following, I will read. Nanarena varena prokta esha suvijneyo bahudha chintyamanah ananya prokte gatiratra nasti aniyan yatarkyam anupramanat. inferior man cannot tell you of him. For thus told thou canst not truly know him, since he is taught off in many aspects. Suvijneya bahudha chintyamana. He has to be thought in many aspects and distinguished. He cannot be known at once. It takes time to dwell on it, to dwell from different sides, to think about it in different ways. That's why it takes so long, a lifetime, to think about this. Yet, unless told of him by another, thou canst not find thy way there to him. For he is subtler than subtlety, and that which logic cannot reach. So it is not that it is inherent in our logic or in our mind that we can suddenly find something and have knowledge of it. We have to be given this knowledge. There has to be parampara. There has to be somebody from the beginning who knew and didn't forget. And that memory has to be established and brought to us. And even with those great beings like Mother and Sri Aurobindo, even with them, you know what happened to the mother? That she didn't know what was going on in her life until she met somebody. Of course, she met Theon and Madame Theon. And Madame Theon told her, "You are the Divine Mother." She saw the 12 zodiac over her head. And yes, and yes, Alma. And Max Theon told her, "The Divine is that was here." These things had to be known to her. And she said, once she heard that, everything turned upside down. Immediately she had a realization of it. So why it had to be told for such being as a mother? It's an interesting, what here he says, yet unless told of him by another, thou canst not find thy way there to him.
Why must I don't give him the mantra of life?
Yeah, that's another question.
Yeah,
because he was the vibhuti of the Lord of Death. Yes, so of course he figured out where mother would be there. He specially published the review, cosmic review, to attract her, and he attracted her and he found her because he wanted that mantra of life and death.
Yeah.
But then mother, when she arrived to Pondicherry, she gave that mantra of to Sri Aurobindo. And what Sri Aurobindo did with it, you know? He made it disappear. He said, that's not the way how we want to win immortality. It's not the way. And that was interesting because that mantra could do a lot and help a lot, but he didn't want that help. Of course, Max Theon or Richard, they would die for that mantra. That would be the whole power they wanted.
Maybe because the evil forces are the strongest on the earth and they might use the mantra. That's why that was...
No, but Sri Aurobindo was seeking the truth. He was not interested in this kind of manipulations. He knew that it won't change a thing. It would give you a power and that's it. So if we read further, we will see interesting things. So, naisha tarkena matir apaneya prokta anyenaiva sujnanaya preshta. I better read from here. Yam tvam apah satyadhritir batasi tvadrikno bhuyam nachiketav prashta. And maybe I will not come to this point. It's a little bit further. What I want to answer to Rod, that this passage is one thing, but there is other very important dimension which Nachiketas will bring forward. Okay, let us read this. This wisdom is not to be had by reasoning, O beloved Nachiketas. Only when told thee by another, it brings real knowledge, the wisdom which thou hast gotten. Truly thou art steadfast in the truth. Even such a question as thou art, may I meet with always. Now, yeah, there are a few for linguists, apaneya, there are a few possible readings. If you want to see later, you can see. Janam yaham, that's what Nachiketas will say. Janam yaham shevadhir iti anityam. Iti anityam. Nahya dhruvaiv prapyate hi dhruvam yat. By that which is not constant, you cannot reach that which is steady, which is infinite. By finite things, you cannot come to the infinite. Tato maya nachiketas chitognih. And therefore, I tired or flamed or kindled the fire of Nachiketas. Anityaih dravyaih. And by those finite things, praptavan asmi nityam, I reached to the infinite. Now here we are comes. Here is a real explanation of that. That passage to the beyond is one thing, but how that passage is maintained, how it is, by what means you reach to the beyond, is that what he answers here. I know, he says, of treasure, that it is not forever. For not by things unstable shall one attain that one which is stable. Therefore I heaped the fire of Nachiketas, and by the sacrifice of transitory things I warn the eternal. This is the Vedic vision. It is the sacrifice. It is by finite things we arrive in the evolutionary process to the infinite. Infinite is to be manifested here by our finite growth. We should not rush beyond. We should not leave it, as it is said in the hymn to Indra of Agastya 170 and 171 from the first mandala, when Agastya with his Marots wanted to cross and to leave everything behind. Then Indra appears and he says, where do you go? You can't know that by these means. These are not the means of knowing that. There you will see nothing. There you will not remember who you are and why you went there. You will not remember that you wanted to know there. These are the means to know the infinity here. So let us, he says, kindle the fire and expand your sacrifice, and you will know the infinity here. This is what Nachiketas did. He piled the sacrifice, and he reached the infinity by the finite things. So the passage is there. It has to be seen, but it has to be reached differently.
It seems that the sacrifice of finite things means the rejection of finite things.
No.
Throughout, from the beginning to the end, we have
not at all
the opposites of good, knowledge, renunciation, rejection, immortality, opposed to bewilderment, riches, grossness, transitory things, finite things.
All this, what you are saying now, is absolutely, this is the line which are crossing now into another age. You are speaking from that other age.
Well, that's the interpretation.
Interpretation of the next age.
So this scripture absolutely has that interpretation.
Excellent. This is exactly the interpretation which Rod is now saying, of the age which is following this. But the age which preceded this, Vedic age, had another view on things. And this is what I'm saying now. That It is by involving that, because Indra explains to Maruts what are his properties here in this manifestation. It is this aspiration in the heart, formation in the mind, and the sensual delight which you have to extract. If you give all that, you will expand the sacrifice. That's why I bring Agastya back, because that Agastya is forgotten after this time, and it is understood only in Buddhistic sense. Renunciation means that you leave this world to itself, to hell with all this world, as Sannyasi says. I go there, this is my passage. I have nothing to do with this, and this is not the way. And we know it only from Sri Aurobindo coming back, otherwise we would never recover this knowledge of the Veda. We would never see it, because the literature which follows this is so huge, and everywhere they speak the same thing, that Mayavada, no Mayavada, Buddhism, whoever, there will be this mind to leave everything behind, all pleasures and everything. Even with pleasures, how today we dealt with this duality. We dealt with it in Vedic sense. We didn't deal in proper Mayavadic sense. We were looking at it differently. Have you noticed that? We were speaking about things which are difficult to combine, but we were trying to combine them and to see the truth. So if we want to be clear-cut, rational, of course we will be so. We are so already. But we have to recover the deeper stage, deeper look.
But all life is sacrifice.
Sacrifice is misunderstood in the sense that we give away, or we involve it for the divine manifestation. What is sacrifice?
Also like a sacrifice. What I see is that if you sacrifice transitory thing, you do this extraction of the delight that you offer.
Right.
Because for the transitory that is given to us here, that we perceive through your senses, has to be seen more and more as the essence it is. And whatever we see, whatever we get, we should give it back. We should offer seeing or hearing or touch and everything.
Exactly.
What
is interesting, yes, with this view, it's quite interesting. Today we were discussing this with Nishtha, which is relating to the philosophy of evolution which Rod is reading. And all the faculties of consciousness, of seeing and hearing and touch and movement and all other, you know, there are many senses, indriyas, and not only jnanendriyas, but also karmendriyas. The locomotion and all these things have to be worked out in the evolution. So there were many involutions, as Martha says, and she didn't want to go into details. She said it will be too long to tell you all that, how many involutions took place. So every time there is a working out of all those senses within the evolutionary stage, and then there comes the stage of complete mass extinction. This mass extinction is important because the spirit already worked out certain possibilities. It is not yet human in pure sense. It's still universal. And later, when the instrumentation already worked out those genetic pool enough to be flexible enough, worked out all the minutest details in the behavior, in the all failure and everything else, then when the brain is ready to be built, there will be a sacrifice of the Purusha as man. And that is what in Aitareya it is said, when he was asking, when the senses within this ocean of darkness were asking, bring us, Purusha was asking, bring me the abode where I can live. So they brought him first horse. He said, no, it's not enough for me. Then they brought him cow. No, it's not enough for me. Then they brought him man. And he said, yes, it's well done. Now, there were stages where things had to be worked out before man could come with his abode. This living place, this niche in which spirit of a higher kind can dwell and function took time. And all those working out and all those involutions and evolutions and extinctions were contributions to this long process. It's an interpretation from the Vedic side, just one glimpse.
Maybe here, but I mean, it's also interesting to look at the words, because what Shri Aurobindo translates as by the sacrifice, there is actually no work here of the sacrifice. But it's only Chitta Agni, isn't it?
Yes, piled Agni. Now this piling of Agni is another very beautiful symbol, piling of the piles. I will not dwell on it. What is Chitti? Chitti is the altar. What is altar? And how to build it? You remember Yama was telling him in details how these bricks are named, how they have to be put, and he had to repeat it back. He was telling something of that secret knowledge of which we have no idea about. Yes, the power. It's the sign of power over nature. Mm-hmm.
Could one say that the way sacrifice?
There is no sacrifice word here. It is said that that's why I piled the Agni called Nachiketas, and by finite things, I reached to the infinite.
Is this something to do with what they call constipation, like
involving
everything you do?
Yeah. It's called karma yoga. It is that simple ideal of karma yoga, which is absolutely complex and absolutely unknown to us. How to consecrate every action, every perception, every movement in the body, every taste, every enjoyment to the higher consciousness. This is the highest invitation. We are ready already to invite it into this change of this abode, of this niche. We are ready to do this. Okay, we stop here and we will end with mantra. Sahanavavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai.